Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins and the sins of the whole world, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from John chapter 1. We'll read verses 29 through 34. The next day, John, and that's referring to John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." And John bore witness, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Right now we are in the season of Epiphany in the church year, a season that celebrates Jesus being revealed to all people. That's what the word Epiphany means. It means to reveal or to show, or if you want to use a more old school term, to manifest, to make known. So during the season of Epiphany, we're going to be looking at various accounts in the Gospels of some of the ministry of Jesus or the events that happened in Jesus' life. And we're going to look at each of these texts and find out what they reveal to us about Jesus. Now, truth be told, that's pretty much what we do every Sunday. That's what I try to do in every single sermon. What does this text reveal to us about Jesus? That should be the question we ask as we come into the worship service. That should be the question I ask when I prepare a sermon every Sunday. But during the season of Epiphany, we're going to focus even more closely on that thought. What does this text reveal to us about Jesus? And so we pray that God the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth, would bless our study today and through the coming weeks. In our text for this morning, we read the familiar words of John the Baptist, who cried out as he saw Jesus coming toward him, "Behold, the Lamb of God." These are important words, words we need to pay attention to. In fact, John uses an interjection in the Greek that means, "Pay attention." And the King James Version and the New King James Version, which we're using today, translate that Greek interjection with the word, "Behold." I think that's kind of the most powerful English word we can use, or the most accurate English word we can use to translate that interjection. Most modern translations just put "look," and that's how we probably would speak today. If you wanted to point to something and draw attention to it, you'd say "look," or "pay attention to this thing." So this important thing that John is pointing to, the important thing that's about to be said, is about Jesus being the Lamb of God. And notice from our gospel reading this morning, John said it again the very next day when he saw Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So what important things do these inspired words from John reveal to us about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God. Well, first of all, it reveals to us that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. If you're following along with the outline in the bulletin, I left the 3 points blank. So I'll repeat each of the 3 points so that if you're writing things down or writing notes, you can hear the 3 points. It reveals that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. That's the first important thing we have revealed to us through these words of John. The Lamb in the Old Testament, for the Old Testament believer, was one of the most significant, if not the most significant, picture of who the Messiah was and who the Messiah was going to be and what he was going to do. So when John the Baptist saw Jesus and exclaimed to the people around him, "Behold, the Lamb of God," the people probably had a pretty good idea of the picture that John was painting for them, because they had used lambs in their worship services literally for centuries. You can go back several thousand years to the very first Passover, when the Lord Jehovah was freeing the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. That's the beginning of the Passover. He, at the end of his 10 plagues, it was a lamb without blemish, without spot, which God commanded the Israelites. Each household was to kill one of these lambs, roast it and eat it, and spread some of its blood outside the doorposts to their house. Again, this was the first Passover. The Lord had told his people, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Again, his personal name, Jehovah. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Well, it wasn't just on the Passover that the Israelites used a lamb in their worship. A little later on in their history, the Lord Jehovah also commanded that lambs be used for the daily offering, one in the morning and one in the evening. A lamb, a male without blemish, according to the book of Leviticus, was to be used during the burnt offering. A lamb was also to be sacrificed as a sin offering as well. So you can see the picture, right? Especially if you'd had centuries of this in your nation's history. Jesus is pictured by this Passover lamb and these sacrificial lambs. And the first Passover, those who were covered by the blood of the lamb were saved from this plague of death that was inflicted on the firstborn in Egypt. Those who are covered by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, are saved from an even worse fate. We're saved from death, from sin, and even hell itself. Remember those words that Peter wrote in our epistle reading for this morning, just from a few moments ago. He said this, "Because you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, not with things that pass away, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake." Jesus and the salvation he would win for us by his sacrifice as the Lamb of God has been revealed to you for your sake through the Word of God. That brings us to the second thing this text reveals to us about Jesus, the Lamb of God. The second important thing is that it reveals that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sin. He's not just a sacrifice for sin. He's not just the sacrifice for some sins, but not all of them. If that was the case, his sacrifice would literally mean nothing to us. We either need all of our sins forgiven, or we do not get into heaven. He was the perfect sacrifice for all sins for all time. So Christ's sacrifice as the Lamb of God also put an end to the need for any more animal sacrifices. I am very grateful for that, because I could not probably carry out the function of sacrificing a lamb each Sunday. That's not how I am wired. I'd rather do what I do as a pastor here and not have to do an animal sacrifice. Jesus' death on the cross took away the need for all those sacrifices. And even those Old Testament sacrifices of lambs and animals, they had no power in and of themselves if not for the sacrifice of Jesus. They pointed ahead and found their fulfillment in the cross, in the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The New Testament book of Hebrews talks about this connection and the fact that Jesus' sacrifice takes away the need for these animal sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 9 says this, "Not with the blood of goats and calves But with his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The greatest sacrifice was Jesus, and all those other sacrifices found their fulfillment and got their effectiveness and their power from the sacrifice of Jesus. This Lamb of God, Jesus, did not need to be sacrificed day after day, but instead once for all time. This Lamb of God, Jesus, did not just take away the sins of an individual, but rather, as John says, the sin of the world. This Lamb, Jesus, has taken them all away. So as you came into the worship service today, were you coming bringing some sin that was burdening you? Something that was plaguing you, burdened by something that you have done, or maybe burdened and plagued by guilt over something that you have not done? As you come today, I encourage you to lay those sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He's already paid for them for you. He's already borne them on his back on that cross. As we just sang in the comforting words of our last hymn, I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains, white in his blood most precious, till not a spot remains. Let's make sure we also don't get the wrong impression about this Lamb of God. Let's not think that he is weak or helpless, just because Isaiah prophesied rightly that he was as a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. No, that is what Jesus came to do. He came to die. He came to be the perfect sacrifice for sin. He came to be the Savior. But our text also reveals something else very important about this Lamb of God. And the third important point that this text reveals about Jesus is this. It reveals that Jesus is worthy of worship and praise. It reveals that Jesus is worthy of worship and praise. He is, as John the Baptist testified, not just the Lamb of God, but also the Son of God. He is, as the book of Revelation says, the Lamb who was slain. Think about the significance of the past tense there. He was the Lamb who was slain, but now lives and rules over all things. This Lamb of God is also the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. That's also what Revelation tells us. That means with his almighty power, he can help us in our weaknesses. He can rescue us in our troubles. He is the one, again, as Revelation says, is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So each day we can look, we can behold, we can pay attention to and see Jesus revealed right here in his word. We can look, pay attention to, and behold the Lamb of God who takes away my sin and your sin and the sins of the whole world. Amen. Please rise. That peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.